Today will be the last day of our higher education hearings, and this is University of Idaho Day. We'll kick off the University of Idaho budget, which is found in your legislative budget book 1-61, and we'll start with our LSO analyst, Ms. Jessup. Ms. Jessup, the microphone is yours when you're ready.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Janet Jessup. I'm a budget and policy analyst with Legislative Services, and I get to work with higher education. As the chairman stated, the first presentation that you will hear today will be from the University of Idaho, and that is found on page 1-161 of your legislative budget book. But we will be bouncing around a little bit in the legislative budget book today and between a few different appropriation bills. So starting off, Section 332813 of Idaho Code provides for the creation of the College of Agriculture within the University of Idaho in accordance with its status as a land-grant institution. Further, Idaho Code provides that the University of Idaho include various areas of study, including the physical and natural sciences and agriculture, and also provides that the University of Idaho provide and organize agricultural extension work. So all of this code comes together, and you will be hearing a lot today from agriculture and natural resources at the University of Idaho, as well as some of their medical education programs. So to map out a little bit of where we're going to be going this morning, we're going to be starting off in the college and university budget, but then we're going to be going to the special programs budget on page 1-119 of your legislative budget book. Unfortunately, this is all on the agenda, and this is also incorporated into the presentations of the speakers today, so we've tried to make it easy for everyone to follow along. Within the special programs appropriation discussions, I just wanted to highlight you were given today a revised handout from Legislative Services. The only change in this revision was in this bottom line as it pertains to forest utilization research. The previous draft that you received had a portion that was attributed to not appropriated. And after some additional looking at those numbers, there are additional funds that come into the College of Natural Resources but are not necessarily attributable directly to this program. So it was misattributed by myself, and I apologize for the confusion, but a revision of that is on your desk. After the break, we're going to be going to Agricultural Research Extension, which is on page 1-53 of your legislative budget book, and then we're going to be finishing the day in Health Education Programs, 1-95. And again, these are all appropriated separately in different appropriation bills, but they find their way to the University of Idaho campus and in some cases to other regions of the state through the programming at the University of Idaho. Mr. Chairman, with that overview, I would conclude my remarks if there's any questions regarding the structure of these budgets, but otherwise, I'll sit down.
Thank you, Ms. Jessup. Committee, are there any questions of Ms. Jessup? Seeing none, we'll move to the next item, which is the presentation from the University of Idaho President Scott Green. President Green, please approach the podium, identify yourself for the record, and the time is yours.
Great. Thank you, Chairman Agenbrod, and members of the Joint Appropriations Committee. I'm Scott Green, President of the University of Idaho, and I appreciate the opportunity to emphasize why it's important to fully fund Idaho education and the University of Idaho in particular. The University of Idaho is our state's land-grant institution, as you've heard, serving Idaho students and our citizens statewide. We do this through our education, extension programs, research, service, and outreach to improve the lives and contribute to Idaho's economy. The U of I produces graduates ready to make an immediate impact in the workforce and to feed Idaho's growing business sector. Our research supports Idaho industry, from agriculture to computer science, forestry to education. For the second year in a row, the University of Idaho was named the number one best value of any public university in the West by U.S. News and World Report. Last year, we moved past the University of Virginia to the number two spot nationally, only behind the University of North Carolina, who we have well within our sights. This ranking recognizes the quality of our programs in comparison to the net cost to students. Our citizens have access to a valuable, world-class teaching and research institution in their own backyard. According to a recent economic impact report, investment in public higher education in Idaho offers a tremendous return. Our students gain roughly a 14% return on their investment in their education, while our taxpayers realize an 11% return. Now I'm pleased to present a few of our accomplishments over the past year. We continue to make great progress on our financials. We're improving our efficiency while still providing an excellent in-person experience for our students. We've achieved positive operational and cash flow results in 2021. And while we've made significant improvements, we still have balance sheet issues to confront in the next couple of years. Primarily, we must address a $15 million negative balance in our unrestricted reserve fund. The State Board of Education target is a positive $19 million. So we do have work to do, but barring any further economic impacts or budget cuts, we should be able to hit our metrics over the next 2 years. In 2021, we implemented our new hybrid budget model that will guide resource allocation and reward those programs with increased enrollment, student persistence, and collaboration. This will improve efficiency and help us respond to the demands in those markets we serve most effectively. The funding is based on prior year performance and should help prevent a reoccurrence of the significant deficits the university was running before my arrival. The U of I is also addressing inefficiencies revealed in the 2018 analysis conducted by the Huron Consulting Group. One area that needed focus was the average spans of control, or how many people a supervisor manages. Over the past 3 years, our span of control has improved, driven by increased spans among mid-level managers. Headcount for administrators and staff has fallen by over 170 people during that time. The savings enabled us to adjust to a competitor labor market in a way that enabled our overall employee expenses to remain relatively flat over the period. We learned this month that Moody's Investors Service assigned the U of I an A1 bond rating, which is an excellent endorsement of our fiscal management. The outlook was upgraded to stable, also reflecting our strengthened liquidity and financial reserves. Students are discovering the great value we offer. Our enrollment for fall of 2021 was up almost 5%. And our first year undergraduate enrollment was up more than 16%. Our early application numbers point to continued growth in 2022. In 2021, we welcomed the largest freshman class since 2016, and we experienced our first increase in enrollment in 4 years. Helping us to improve our financial situation, and a larger student body allows us to reinvest in programs that enhance the student experience like research, internship, and hands-on opportunities. We were also pleased to recruit an excellent class of graduate students. Our grad student enrollment increased 8.2%, which does not include our professional degrees of law and medicine. We continue to provide the only law degree in the state through a competitive quality law school. We did experience somewhat of a decline in law this year in law enrollment because 2 years ago we took in about 100 students from Concordia Law School, which had closed its doors. As those students graduate, we're returning to more enrollment levels closer to what we had seen in prior years. Our WAMI program, which is our MD program, remains capped at 40 students per class. Demand continues to increase, and current enrollment numbers are not sufficient to meet the need for healthcare professionals in our state. We remain committed to Idaho students. 70% of our students are from Idaho high schools. Our Vandal Promise scholarships offer up to $5,000 each year to high-achieving yet financially challenged students from Idaho. This amount is based on a typical funding gap that we see of about $5,000 between Pell Grants received and state scholarships and the cost of attendance. We have awarded 81 scholarships totaling $2 million as we continue to raise private funds to fill that gap for hardworking students who would otherwise not be able to afford to go on to higher education. The Vandal Promise Scholarship supports students for up to 5 years, allowing them to focus on earning their degree rather than to worry about how they're going to pay for tuition. Our student pipeline, those taking dual credit classes while in high school, also saw a significant increase this fall after decreasing in 2020 due to COVID-related reasons. Dual credit enrollment is up nearly 20% this year. We are reinvesting in our university by enhancing success programs. Getting to college is only half the battle. Persisting and putting that degree to work benefits students and our growing state as we produce job-ready candidates that employers desperately need. We opened our seed potato germplasm laboratory in the fall, and it's a busy slide, but it's that building you kind of see in the middle of the slide there. This state-of-the-art facility will address greater demand for plantlets and mini tubers and increase production by 3 times in the next 5 years. Approximately 60% of the potatoes grown in the country and 90% of those grown in Idaho can be traced back to our laboratory on our Moscow campus. This facility is a big win for Idaho agriculture, and we're thankful for the investment by the state of Idaho and also our industry partners who also made significant contributions to make it possible. Last year, we won an $18.9 million grant from the National Science Foundation to fund a deep soil ecotron lab that will be built on our Moscow campus. I cannot overstate the importance of this facility to our state and our country. This unique, world-class research lab will bring scientists from around the planet to study soil at depths up to 10 feet. This research will have major implications for agriculture, plant health, water quality, biology, environmental science, and more. We appreciate Governor Little's budget recommendations that include investments in key areas such as nuclear energy, distance learning, the McClure Center, the McCallfield campus, as well as other endeavors to drive education, research, and outreach at the University of Idaho. We've included references to the legislative budget book on the slide for your convenience. The U of I is partnering with Idaho State University and Idaho National Laboratory to advance nuclear engineering and nuclear energy solutions for our state and our country. And President Sowerly said this yesterday, and I would say it again today, we don't know how many times universities actually work together at the level that we are, but we're very proud of that partnership, and they're great allies, and this is something that's going to benefit all of Idaho. As INL moves forward with new and existing research and development, the U of I and Idaho State University are aiming to strengthen our partnership, which provides excellent opportunities for our students. Additional faculty will help support next-generation modular reactors being developed and tested at INL as we speak. The U of I offers 3 advanced degrees in the field, and students are able to work with some of the best equipment and top minds in the country and the world through these partnerships. The nuclear engineering field is growing fast, and our graduates are sought after for their knowledge and experience gained from working with INL. Investing in this partnership is a win for all of Idaho. We are bolstering our distance learning options because we learned valuable lessons through COVID, and we're expanding our course offerings and increasing student support while upgrading technology in our facilities throughout the state. Our investments in online infrastructure will allow us to deliver high-quality educational content for both those continuing their education and dual-credit students wherever they may live for many years to come. This is very important to our mostly rural state. The McClure Center for Public Policy serves a vital role for Idaho. The center provides nonpartisan, evidence-based research to inform public policy, communicates policy findings in an accessible manner, convenes and collaborates with diverse groups of stakeholders, and engages students in public policy. The McClure Center's current funding support is modest, and the center lacks some key resources to meet your priorities. The largest gap is the lack of a full-time economist to help assess the ROI on many of the, return on investment, on many of the policy decisions made. We're asking for ongoing support for the McClure Center to meet that and other needs. The McClure Center recently published a comprehensive series of reports and correlating website on the challenges of climate change on all economic aspects of our state, recreation and tourism, agriculture, energy, human health, infrastructure,
and land. The research done in collaboration with our sister institutions in Idaho provides the state's industries, decision makers, and citizens with useful data when making important decisions about Idaho's future. We did not make a request for funding this year because we're expecting a recommendation from the Governor's Cybersecurity Task Force. But Idaho's needs for cybersecurity professionals continues to increase, and the University of Idaho is moving quickly to prepare for them. The number of jobs in cybersecurity has increased 160% since 2015. In 2021, we launched a master's degree in cybersecurity to complement our bachelor's degree, introduced in 2020. We're collaborating with our partners at Idaho Community Colleges and our fellow four-year schools to create pathways to these degrees so that students throughout the state can train to defend our cyber systems. The University of Idaho has long been a national leader in the field and is one of the original national centers of academic excellence in cyber defense. We were tapped recently by the U.S. Department of Defense through the U of I Center for Secure and Dependable Systems to provide support for its University Consortium for Cybersecurity. The consortium is made up of 340 schools nationwide and will play a key role in protecting the country's critical systems from cyber attacks. COVID certainly presented challenges, and many universities around the country are struggling. The University of Idaho remains committed to a balanced budget while continuing to provide access to the in-person education and experiences many students need to be prepared for the job market. COVID-related revenue losses and increased expenses totaled $48.3 million at the University of Idaho. This impact was mitigated by various COVID relief funds, but the University of Idaho still shouldered the burden of $5.6 million in losses not covered by these funds. Included in that $48.3 million requirements of the COVID relief funds also called for $17.4 million of that to go directly to students through federal relief grants. We are grateful, truly grateful, for the 5% CEC authorization in the governor's proposed budget. It is sorely needed to be competitive. But the dedicated fund portion is approximately 40% of our gen ed lines, and that means that to fully fund our CEC, we must provide approximately half the funding from another source, and the only other source available for that is tuition. I raise this not to complain in any way or to seem ungrateful. We are actually very grateful. I just need our legislators to understand why we will need to raise tuition even with a generous CEC increase. If there were a fund shift for CEC, the U of I would not need to raise tuition in this coming fiscal year. In this labor market, we struggle to provide competitive salaries, which is currently creating significant challenges when trying to refill positions with qualified applicants. And I am truly concerned about this. As you will hear from our dean of the College of Agriculture and Life Science, we are struggling to remain competitive and to fill our extension educator positions, some of which have been vacant for 2 years or more. As you know, these are the people that troubleshoot agricultural issues in the field and help our farmers bring our research into practice. We appreciate the significant funding also proposed for deferred maintenance and permanent building fund projects. This funding helps keep our campuses safe and allows us to better serve students and help fuel our research enterprise. The University of Idaho is solving its budget challenges while providing impactful experiences for our students and delivering tremendous value for our state. Employers tell us they value our graduates because they're hardworking and ready to contribute from day one. But they're struggling to meet the demand in their growing businesses and are clamoring for more Vandal graduates. Our research is key to helping our state industries grow and thrive over the long term. Sharing that research through the outreach efforts of our extension offices impacts farmers, ranchers, and businesses in every county. In less than 3 years, I visited nearly every one of those 42 offices and 9 research sites where U of I employees are making a difference, and I'm impressed with the value and support they're delivering on the ground in Idaho to your constituents. The U of I is emerging from COVID stronger and leaner. We're able to invest in our top priorities and further deliver on our land-grant mission of education and service to all of the people of Idaho. Later this morning, you'll hear from leaders of our special programs administered by the University of Idaho. Once they have completed their presentations, with permission of the chair, I would like to make brief closing remarks and answer any additional questions you may have. Thank you for your past and continued support of the University of Idaho. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, President Green. We appreciate the overview and what we have look forward to, if I can spit that out. Committee, are there any questions at this point of President Green? Representative Nate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. President Green, thank you for your presentation. Same question I asked of other university presidents. Last year, we reduced the increase in university and college budgets by $2.5 million with clear intent language to eliminate wasteful spending on diversity, equity, social justice programming. What specific steps has the University of Idaho taken to follow that intent language? I think $500,000 of it was directed for the University of Idaho.
President Green.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nate, thank you for your question. So we looked for the intent language you cited, and we found some language in some of the bills that were killed last year, but we couldn't find it in the bill that was passed. But from talking to some of your peers, I understand it was deemed unnecessary because of the passage of House Bill 377. So regardless, we did take your concerns about social justice and indoctrination seriously. To the great credit of our legislature, House Bill 377 protects academic freedom and freedom of speech, thus protecting Idaho's colleges and universities from government making decisions about what can and cannot be taught. It is the central committees and politburos of the present and past in communist countries that dictate what can and can't be taught, primarily to maintain power. And they would not want social justice or humanitarian subjects to be taught either. So we appreciate the protections afforded by House Bill 377. But that law also forbids another tool used by central committees and politburos in countries past and present, and ensures no one can require students to affirm, adopt, or adhere to any specific belief. In short, it takes away the tool of indoctrination. I was confident there's no indoctrination or affirmation program at the University of Idaho. And while I was confident of that, certain conflict entrepreneurs and those who earn their living by scaring people with such illusions have made these claims, which surfaced and were used to cut our budget last year. We wanted to be sure and ensure that we were following Idaho law in deed and in spirit. So we commissioned the law firm of Holly Troxell to conduct an independent investigation into the allegations that were serviced here in the legislature, primarily through a document published by the affiliate of the Idaho Freedom Foundation titled Social Justice in Idaho Higher Education, authored by Boise State Professor Scott Yenner and IFF analyst Anna Miller. We asked Holly Troxell, arguably the gold standard for law firms in Idaho, to evaluate and substantiate, if possible, the claims made in the report and provide recommended adjustments to our processes to correct anything that was substantiated. In other words, we asked them to conduct an independent investigation under professional code of conduct and make recommendation on how we could become most compliant. I quote the conclusions of the investigation verbatim here. After conducting our investigation, we were unable to substantiate the conclusions contained within the IFF report, including the allegations pertaining to the U of I having a systemic commitment to forcing social justice ideology upon its students. In short, the entire social justice narrative on which the University of Idaho was penalized $500,000 was a false narrative created by conflict entrepreneurs who make their living sowing fear and doubt with legislators and voters. We will make full, unredacted, unedited investigative report. We'll make it available to you and the public today. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, follow-up.
Thank you, President Green. One follow-up, Mr. Nate. Representative Nate.
Thank you, Chairman. President Green, the University of Idaho has previously hired a director of engineering diversity to the College of Engineering at a cost of over $140,000. The University of Idaho's Office of Equity and Diversity states the Office of Equity and Diversity engages in social justice advocacy through policy implementation, programs, and services. I think that's evidence right there that it is not, University of Idaho is not devoid of critical race theory and social justice programming. Any efforts to reduce expenses on these programming?
Mr. Chairman? President Green. for the record. President Green, you're welcome to answer the question if you wish.
Sure, I will respond to that, that if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman. Representative Nate, again, we had Holly Troxell take a look at that full report, and it does refer to that position in engineering. The IFF report references the college's appointment of a director of engineering diversity, the establishment of an endowment to support diversity, and inclusive initiatives. The investigation did substantiate that an endowment exists. According to witnesses, the endowment was established by Micron, one of Idaho's largest employers, and was granted by Micron with the express condition that it be used to promote these initiatives. Micron appears to be of the opinion that these initiatives and skills are essential to its workers, many of whom it recruits from the University of Idaho's College of Engineering. Thus, regarding the College of Engineering's diversity and inclusion initiatives, it appears there are several independent justifications to maintain such plans, including maintaining accreditation standards and appealing to the college's stakeholders and donors. We found no evidence that the College of Engineering reserves research opportunities or other resources for minorities and women, and no evidence that non-minority students are excluded in any capacity.
Thank you, President Green. Are there any further questions of President Green? Representative Troy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, President Green. First of all, I'd like to compliment the universities for working together on the cybersecurity. My husband's business got hacked last week, and it's not just large businesses that are getting attacked. Obviously, it's all businesses, and so I think there's nothing greater that our higher education could do than to put their collective minds together to solve that issue. I've been very excited to hear about your partnership with ISU. And I wondered if you could share with us a little bit about your partnerships with WSU that might not be as well known.
President Green.
Well, probably some of our deans are better to talk about some of those and how effective they are. But obviously, with WSU, we do have a veterinary medicine program, a very important program for our state. I think the dean will share information about that and the state of that. We truly believe we need to kind of re-look at that whole program to make sure that we're getting the best bang for the buck. We're not convinced we are at this point, and we think there can be improvements made, and I think he's prepared to talk to you and the Germain committees about that as well.
Thank you, President. Follow-up?
Just a follow-up comment. I also think it's important to recognize that when you started at the University of Idaho, we were in the red over $20 million in such a short time. To be able to turn that around deserves a real thank you from the state and from JFAC, because, well, I hire a CPA to do the right things, get the right things done.
Thank you.
I just wanted to thank you for that effort.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Representative Troy. Thank you.
Thank you. Committee, Representative Stein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and President Green. So this fall, I took it upon myself to go out and visit all the universities to get a sense of the universities and what they were about. And being a College of Idaho graduate, I have no dog in the fight between the universities. But, my sense was that the University of Idaho was all about tradition. It is the land-grant university for Idaho. And it was impressive to see the tradition that goes with the university. You know, and to follow on with the other universities, LCSC was, it is the community university for that area and college. And then Boise State is a major, major university. And then you have down at ISU, it was impressive to see the community support for ISU. And so what I came away with was, if we don't support our universities in this state, if you can't see that the state, the legislature, supports our universities, then why would companies want to locate here? Because we set the tone for what our state is all about. And our universities are a shining example of what we produce here in this state. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to congratulate all of them on what a good job they do.
Thank you, Representative Sein.
Thank you.
President Green, any response?
No, we just thank you for that. And you know, we appreciate the recognition that we all are a bit different, but we're all working together for the benefit of Idaho. Truly, and again, I always give President Satterlee credit for this because I may be the head of the PLC now, but he created that culture of working together. And we're doing some great things. And I can't tell you how important it's been to us that we've been able to divide all these issues up and each of the universities take them on and help progress it on behalf of all of us. And, you know, again, I'll talk about nuclear engineering. You know, the Idaho State took the lead on that. We're taking the lead on cyber and so forth. So we just are all working very well together, and it's really for the benefit of our students and for the state. Thank you for recognizing that.
Thank you, President. Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, President Green. It's kind of a question with a comment involved. The four major institutions in Idaho have started these videos where they highlight students. And about a week or so ago, I was sent a video from a former student that I had in Mount Home High School who was doing some work in environmental education where he's using drones to look at fires and forestry and everything like that. And both his parents are educators in the Mount Home School District. And my question is, I thought it was really cool because I knew the kid in the video, but are you guys seeing a positive feedback and a lot of response from those videos that are highlighting students and programs at the various universities?
Yeah, so again, this marketing campaign is something that has been created by the PLC. In this case, Boise State has taken the lead on this and done a tremendous job for all of us in developing this campaign. And we are getting very favorable feedback as people have seen this around around the state. You know, again, I think it's consisting of, and I think we talked about this earlier when we talked, you know, gave a PLC presentation, but it's social media as well as billboards and television ads and radio. It'll be probably some time. It's going to run through the session here you know, even past. So it'll take some time before we know the full impact of that as we go out and survey. But we're getting great responses. And the fact is, these are real stories about real Idahoans and how education has elevated their lives. So thank you for recognizing that as well.
Thank you, President Green. Committee, any further questions? Representative Nye. All right, Senator Nye.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President, thank you so much for coming back from a great career. And I just want to say how much you are appreciated with what you do and the collaboration with the other schools. I know many don't know perhaps your family heritage in U of I and our state with humor, you know, your dad and grandpa up at U of I. My dad went there. I got a great, you know, law degree up there and really appreciate it. And I'd like to say, esto perpetua, may it continue. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, you know, and Senator Nye, thank you for that. I'll actually be talking a little bit of that in my closing remarks a little bit later, you know, about that family connection. And thank you. You're kind of from our old stomping grounds, so we'll talk about that a little bit as well. Thank you.
Well, thank you, President Green. If there's no further questions, the committee will have an opportunity to visit again with President Green later this morning. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.